Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Podcast One's Riggles Picks, Rob Riggle, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and your Valentine's Day calls during a visit from Books CEO John Tabas. And now, to him, every day is Valentine's Day. Seriously, just ask Lynette. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. And thanks to folks like the Books, man. Go to thebooks.com. Enter out. Save 15%. I'm telling you, man, they'll last a long time. I got a couple vases going at the house. It's nice. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Brakes are on the handle.
Is that replacing on your feet to clean your seat?
No, nothing can replace that.
People, I don't blame you, Dawson, but people tell me stuff all the time, all day, that it'd be impossible for me to not be aware of it, or if it was, they're, you know, airlift for an MRI.
My favorite is somebody tweeted me that I sounded like a retarded kid in the classroom yelling, "My daddy works at the post office." That was nice.
All right, Rob Riggle, one of my favorites, coming in studio, and a couple of few thoughts. I think I may have up. I may have, yes. Sorry.
I like the show Cops.
Yeah, whole stable of them now.
I may have outdone myself in the gross out, but I'm a catfish. I'll eat anything, and that's why I never get sick. Department.
Oh, no.
Which is the leader in the clubhouse so far has been me walking out of Burbank Airport out onto the tarmac to get on a plane. Because it's not a real airport if you use one of them fancy jetway things.
No.
You want to do it how Howard Hughes used to do it in the 40s. You want to walk
right
out, smell some of that Jet A.
Run the Spruce Goose.
Yep, and climb that A-frame ladder right into the side of the plane. So I was walking out there. Years ago, I saw a pigeon. I had had some cashews in my hand, and I threw the cashew to one of the pigeons. The pigeon picked up the cashew, kind of examined it, or did whatever pigeons do when they bite into something, and then decided not for he or she, and dropped it back down, and in which case I then walked over to the ground, the tarmac, probably covered in lots of whatever comes out of the back of jet engines, and I reached down and picked up the cashew and I popped it in my mouth. But
you ate something that a pigeon threw away.
Well, one pigeon's yes. trash.
Yeah,
right.
They're
it's Carolla's treasure. He's like Charlie. And it's always sunny.
I think I may have outdone myself on Friday night.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
and first thing I'd like to. Commend myself for not having a huge argument with Lynette, because it was
the bar is low.
It's easy. We decided that we're craving some Mexican food, so we went out to one of our favorite places and in town, and I said, look it up online and see if they take reservations, or we can call up or whatever.
411 it.
Yeah, and she said, yeah, they don't open until 6 on Friday nights. And I said, oh, well, it's 5:47. Like, let's leave now. We'll just walk right up when they open. Rush. And we hurried out and we walked right up. And it seemed to be pretty empty inside. And then we read the sign, which is closes at 5 on Fridays, opens at 6 on Saturdays. But today was Friday.
That's a bad business model.
Okay.
Seems weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's what you do when you can do it.
Okay.
They're busy. So we're off by a day. So I sent her online to go figure it out.
So they don't do dinner on Fridays?
They don't do dinner on Fridays.
No, that is okay.
Which
leave money on the table, on the mesa.
Well, let me say this, everybody. We should all, it's a weird thought. I agree. But they also have an online presence and one can check. And we, in fact, did check, but we still screwed that up a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, just for everyone, we can all marvel at what a horrible business model it is not to be open for dinner on Friday nights.
But also,
not when you're standing outside the restaurant.
We'll still have our noses against the glass sniffing tortilla chips, and that doesn't benefit us. So what I'm saying to everybody is, as bizarre and atypical as it seems not to have your restaurant open on a Friday night, they do have a website, and you should go check it for you.
Yeah.
And now we can all marvel at how dumb they are.
Or Orthodox Jews.
But, yes.
Sephardic.
See.
But they got a website, and this is my argument for checking stuff. Like, I literally use this example. Like, I go, if you go to the whatever store at noon on a Tuesday and they're not open, it's still on you. You can stand around and go, what the fuck? But you still should have checked before
the information's out there.
You drove across town, and you should just get in the habit of it. Yep. Now, we then, yelped for some other Mexican food places, and we drove around all over the place.
In L.A.,
and
good luck.
We, she was navigating, and I was basically just doing donuts in a parking lot in a circle, and there was a lot of back and forth, and about an hour later, we ended up at a Chinese food place, and we got the Kung Pao shrimp.
Yeah. Probably Mexicans behind the kitchen.
Yep. Yeah. I'm sure prepared
that
skillfully by Mexicans. And we were sitting out on the patio because we got there a little late, not too much seating inside. And the patio, just a cement patio just in front, right off the main boulevard there. And she was handing the bowl of Kung Pao shrimp over, and one of the gooey morsels of shrimp fell off and splatted.
Oh.
On the table or on the ground?
On the ground. On the ground. Now,
yeah, that's a viscousy, sticky.
Yeah,
it's sticky. It's viscousy, and it's on the ground, and the ground was not pressure washed earlier that day. And
that's where your feet go.
It's right on the highway there. And it is where your feet go, and where your dog lays, and whatever else. Wherever that rubber literally meets the road, this is where it is. And I looked at that whole shrimp on the ground, and I said, it's going in the soup cooler. And I just reached down, picked the gooey mess up, threw it right in my mouth.
No wipe or blow.
You know
what
I was going to say?
No wipe.
Get in the water.
No blow.
With the wet shrimp. Kung Pao shrimp is wet.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I was going to save the tails for you, but they already pulled the tails off Max Pata before that.
What kind of establishment is that?
Was Lynette horrified?
No, I was waiting, but for her, I guess.
Just disappointed.
Remember there was that couple out of Canada, and the guy looked like the seventh member of Duran Duran, and he was out like dismembering people and bringing them home and filming himself and burying them and dismantling them and burying them in a lake with cement and everything. She's like his wife. You know what I mean? Like, he brought home another runaway.
I knew this day would come.
Right. Now, if that were you, you'd be horrified.
Oh, yeah. I'd never stop.
But her.
She's used to it.
Conditioned.
Yeah.
Conditioned.
Programmed.
Right. So
she should blink if she needs help.
Now, the cashew, you may argue, was handled by a pigeon, but it was dry.
Yep.
Yeah.
We may argue.
Well, one could take the tact.
So I think the gooey shrimp on the pavement is probably leader in the clubhouse. Yeah. And yes, there was no wiping away.
That trumps
that's
all.
Rockets number one.
Okay. Good. Glad we set that.
How do you feel?
I feel fantastic.
Like a million bucks.
Cold. So cold.
Now, an observation. And now I want to know. I want to break it down along ethnic lines. I was at Sonny's basketball game before we finally doubled back to the Mexican food place on Saturday night. And checking out the kids, the little kids, the kids on the team, the sisters, and whoever's out in the stands. I had this observation, but you guys tell me if it holds true for you. Armenian kids.
Ugh. I mean, no.
They don't look like kids. They look like miniature Armenian adults. Like, these kids weren't like that. When kids get roly-poly and their face gets fat and they look like kids.
Right.
They look like kids.
Right.
They just look like adults that are smaller adults, but they don't have a kid look.
They're defined.
Yeah, you could, it's part of it is that. But it's not all about that. It's like you look at the guy, and he's got like thick eyebrows and a sort of pronounced nose, and he doesn't have a kid look.
That's what I mean. I don't mean physically defined. Yeah. I mean like he has like features.
Yeah, his features. Like he looks like a little businessman or something. Like it's weird. I've noticed it with Armenians, and then I was trying to think, whitey can vary, but they sort of look like kids.
Gerber babies.
I feel like black kids really look like kids, and then become something different than what they were. Well, I mean, if you look at, not that you can't find black people everywhere, but I was watching the Super Bowl. You take all those guys you see on the field and you look at them when they're four, they don't look like they look.
Or after the game,
when they're carrying the kids around on the field, you know, you got them right up there next to each other.
Be hard to match them up.
I'm trying to think. I feel like Asians are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, Asians are more of the childlike for a long time, at least through the examples I've seen at Tessa's daycare. Obviously, those little kids, but
great
like
cherubic.
The people that come to pick them up, it's like, you look a lot like your kid.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that the Armenians look like miniature Armenians, right?
Yeah.
Then what is that? Is that just a defined feature thing? Yeah, How does that work?
I was going to say darker features, but it's less so with black people, like you
said. Well, it's like you said. It's like, you know, when you think of little kids, sometimes you can't even tell that they have eyebrows, you know? So, like, if you come from part of the Eastern Bloc or wherever you come from, that you have darker eyebrows as a little kid, like you said, a more pronounced nose, fuller cheeks, you're going to look like more what you would look like as an adult.
All right. So that was one thought. My other thought...
Nothing wrong with it.
...was, and it sort of has to do, it's kind of funny... Tiger Woods is becoming more Asian as he goes. And I don't know if it's a psychological thing that his game's off and he's found himself a little trouble. The brothers aren't really, really claiming him for themselves. But
I haven't seen Tiger in a long time.
We haven't really used to see him every day.
Yeah.
And so it's been a little while, but I was watching him play a tournament. I was like, he is getting more Asian.
Has he had some work done?
It looks like it, but he's other than like some hair related stuff, he shouldn't because he's, you know, black don't crack and Asian don't whatever rhymes with Asian. And his mom's Thai, I think, right?
Yep.
I just wonder if there's another thing, too, where it's like you look blacker at 19 and then you start your trek toward Asian.
Interesting.
And is he going full Mr. Miyagi, like by the time he gets to 72.
Yeah.
I know it's the wrong one, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I just, he's becoming more Asian.
It does seem that way. At least
and I wonder if the black community is also banning him a little bit.
Yeah,
like, he's
not,
off his
not
game. He's cheating on his wife.
They're not clinging quite so tightly.
It doesn't seem like they're claiming him anymore. So maybe it's time for the Asian community. But they don't claim people. That's the.
Yeah.
That's right, the thing. They're not claimers. They don't care who the mayor is or who's the city council's made comprised of or anything.
Yeah, unless it's, what's his name, a little boxer.
Oh, well,
Pacquiao.
Pacquiao.
Well, that's the whole the whole nation rests on his shoulders. all right, that was just my thought about, he does look more Asian than he looked back in the day,
right?
Yeah, put
him side by
side
with him in his prime, you know, 1999 Tiger Woods, I would say so.
All right, more things to complain about randomly. I was, I'm going to conduct a public service announcement.
Here we go.
There was a version. Oh, it's a new version. So back in the day, cars would have a Landau roof. There was a Townau roof. There was a Landau roof. They had these weird names.
This is before like sunroofs became really kind of not ubiquitous, more common.
This is back when Americans weren't feeling the heat from the Japanese competitors. Uh-huh. Now, what we're looking at is a fake convertible roof.
Oh, you had a friend who had one of those.
Canvas top.
Yeah, but
what I'm talking about is there's a Townau cover and then like a Landau roof, which is just the back part of the roof was upholstered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My friend had been a Chrysler LeBaron.
Very fancy.
Yeah, well, sure. It's what you do when you're not feeling Toyota and Lexus and Nissan and Subaru and BMW and Audi breathing down your neck. You go, like, someone had to move. At that meeting, someone would have went, hey, I got an idea that really screams luxury. Why don't we upholster the outside of the car? Like, why don't we just upholster the roof? Bob? Yeah. We can't get the dashboard not to have huge cracks in it after two summers.
Yeah.
We don't have engines that stay in tune. The upholstery that's in the car is actually falling apart.
And you want to put it outside with all the elements.
Yeah, because nothing says luxury.
And the snow and the heat and the hail.
Nothing says luxury. Here's what it says.
Raccoons.
Here's how confident we are in our product. We're going to upholster the outside of it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Come what may.
Right. And I know the paint's bubbling next to it.
That's right.
And I know the dash is cracking and interior's falling apart.
The dome's bubbling.
The thing doesn't run right or pass emissions. But how about we upholster the outside of the car?
I love it. People will say, is that a convertible? No, not at all. Hey, I'll take it anyway.
That's right. So I would watch people then driving down the freeway and the Landau back part of the roof, when it started to give way, and it would give way, it would lift up. Like an air pocket.
Like Trump's hair.
Yeah, like Trump's hair.
It
would billow.
Yeah, it would lift up like a pita that was being inflated.
Right. Yeah.
And it would lift up and it would just capture the air.
Like a sail.
Like a sail, but with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go.
It would
no
only
backside.
Slow you down.
It would only slow you down. And then I realized the person driving the car has never experienced this. Because they then climb out of the car.
Back to normal.
And it's right back down again. And they never. No. All right.
Sad.
But we don't do the Landau cover anymore, but there's a new phenomenon going on that is capturing the air and hurting gas mileage and not cheating the wind. And I've seen it multiple times now. So the car that had the Landau cover had the big air sail on top, but the bumpers that went around the back were just chrome steel bumpers bolted onto the car. Now they have these plastic skirts that just wrap all the way around, and when they come detach from where they hit the fender, they just flap. They just flap open. And so I've seen people going down the freeway in their Toyota Corolla with that one piece rear bumper that's come on a couple of like little tech screws holding it into where the fenders are, and it's come loose and it's at a full flap, sometimes both sides, killing the person's mileage. But I realize then when the person stops, it goes right back.
And they don't notice.
And I've seen at times quite a few cars out here just recently, and with this design of this bumper, it's apt to happen more often than not. And so everyone go out and check your bumpers.
As you drive.
Yeah.
No, you can do it when it's... Yeah. Don't listen to Brian. Do it when you're in park.
I think this is the new going out and leaving your dog to bark all day and you get home and he's quiet because you're back.
Right.
This is the road version.
Yeah, except for your dog could bark when you're home. This is, you'll never physically catch your bumper hanging out because you then get out of the car and it slaps right back to where it was. So please check that. Another side note I was thinking about says, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but I graduated North Hollywood High in 1982, and I've often kind of known that was the worst year for music for me. I mean, for society, but for me personally, the worst. And I think people think about music and they think about high school or where they were back when or means something to them. And I guess the music when you graduated high school was a big thing. I'd actually put it to Dawson, yell to Max Zapata, who's turning less Asian, as I like him more.
Coincidence?
Not physically, emotionally. I'd be curious what you did for me in 1982, the year I graduated high school. If everyone spat out their year of high school, I'd like to find out who had the best and the worst music for that year. Now, all I said is top 20 hits of that year. And I'll make a case.
Now, a lot of Britney Spears for Gina.
Yeah, a lot of 2010.
Yeah, a lot of Backstreet Boys.
I have some, you know, Eye of the Tigers, which are like, I wouldn't call them great songs, but they hold a place in your heart, yeah. And Centerfold by Jay Giles and stuff. But let me tell you, out of the 20 songs, here's what I have.
We have them in front of you. Nice.
I have Physical by Olivia Newton-John, which is a horrible. I like Olivia Newton-John. She's a Tool tuner for me, but this song is a horrible, horrible song that really goes nowhere. Then, one of the worst of all time, I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. It's a nothing. It's just a nothing. Max Patti, you know something about music. That song is a nothing burger, right? It's like, it goes nowhere. It does nothing.
Really? And I hear it every time we go out to karaoke.
I was just going to say it's a drunk girl karaoke song and nothing more.
It has no layer, no nuance, no
arc.
It never starts. It never ends. No. It never has a middle. It's just how is that song such a big hit and such a big part of my life? Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, yes.
Harmless.
There's a harmless, but pretty bad. Mm. Horrible. Horrible by the Human League. Don't You Want Me, Baby.
And they made a comeback,
Horrible, horrible, horrible. John Cougar. Jack and Diane. But worse, Hurts So Good.
Double
big year for Johnny Cougar.
Then, if you didn't think it could get any worse, it's going to get worse. Abracadabra by
Steve
Miller.
That's a gut punch, man.
Special place in your heart.
It's a gut punch.
I'm not one of these like, Mariah Carey sung it and I'm cool, so I must hate it. There are many good pop songs done by Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, and Backstreet Boys or whomever. I'm not going to hate on pop songs. Abracadabra is horrible. Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
This is pretty rough. Man.
Tainted Love isn't really, again, it's not a song. Like,
The hand claps or the foot stomps are what makes that song because everybody gets involved. But yeah, the song's terrible.
Did you have a band or a DJ at your prom? Do you remember? Because if it's DJ, you probably heard a lot of these songs. Bands are going to play a lot of the standards.
I think we had a DJ. And last but not least, I'm just cherry picking, but there's a lot of bad songs. Is like, if I sat down and gave you my top 20 songs that I hate the most, 11 of them would have been from the year I graduated high school. I Can't Go For That by Hall & Oates.
Don't tell me.
And look, all these people with all their like nostalgia, where they go, you like that because you were... No, they're good times for architecture. They're great times for cars. There's bad times for cars. We just talked about the Landau roof. That's a bad 70s American cars.
Bad idea.
1974, bad time.
Yeah.
1960s, a decade earlier, good time.
Yep.
Music does the same thing.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it? Everything else, art and everything else does it. Ugh. God, as if not having a job and living in my goddamn garage wasn't bad enough. This had to be the soundtrack of my life. Who do we have for...
This is Brian.
No, this is not 1996. 96?
No, can't be. That's 86, I bet. Yeah. Had broken wings on it.
Fucking idiots. I don't know what the big hits are from 96. I'm going to put up on the screen in a second, but let's go toe-to-toe and see. I remember there being some decent music. Probably
You wrong, Brian.
96? Get the fuck out of here.
What is it?
Macarena.
Wow.
But to your Mariah Carey theory, Always Be My Baby, great pop song.
Wow.
That made the list.
These are shocking.
Song.
Give me one reason, Tracy Chapman.
Sweet Day by Mariah Carey.
Wait, no. Give me one reason. Sucks. It's horrible. We hate it. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Number four.
And
nobody
I turn back. It's horrible. We love Tracy Chapman.
That's
a bad song.
All right.
Thank you.
What about Come On, Ride That Train and Ride
Is this my year or yours?
Go ahead.
It's Brian's year.
96.
Nobody Knows by Tony Rich Project is a great song. Always Be My Baby, Mariah Carey is a perfectly fine pop song.
Jim Blossoms. You like the Jim
Blossoms. I love the Jim Blossoms, but this was later Jim Blossoms that is not as good.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah. Which Jim Blossoms song is it?
This is Alpha, Wherever You Go, I'll Follow You. Not a worthy hit. Right. Not a worthy hit.
California Love. Everybody's
California is a fantastic
favorite.
Song.
Everybody's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony. That's great songs here.
Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Yeah, you got to zoom in a little bit on these. I can't quite. Ironic by Alanis Morissette was big. Oasis was
huge.
Big.
She was the queen of 96.
I don't know Nobody Knows by the Tony Rich Project.
What a great song.
You can find
that's
that.
The number four hit of title. The year.
Maybe I'll know it when I hear it. Ugh, give me one reason. Yuck.
One Sweet Day, I think, is the biggest selling single.
Nobody Knows.
Yeah, this is a great song.
This song.
I love this song.
I thought this was by like the Crash Test Dummies or something.
I told her how I feel. Maybe she'd be here right now.
I didn't know the Tony Rich project.
But instead, I think they cut this intro.
Probably for the best.
I pretended I'm glad you went away.
Oh, Gene, you shouldn't listen.
Wait, I don't know this song.
Closing more every day. I do not remember this song. Probably because I was four.
Nobody knows it but me.
Guys, this is the biggest hit of the year.
I have a huge hole in my music because in 1996, I would either listen to K-Rock, who would never play any top 20 anything. I worked at K-Rock. So now, if you go to my gym or you go to a steakhouse, you will have top 10 music shoved up your rectum because you have no choice. You go to a sports bar in Detroit at the airport and you have this shit piped in everywhere. Top 10, whatever. There used to be, this is an interesting point, you used to be able to avoid things you didn't want to see.
That's right.
There was a chance that you could get by without hearing some story or listening to some music. So I'm working at K-Rock with Kimmel. We're listening to K-Rock music. On my off time, I'm listening to like K-Earth, like Dion and the Belmonts, right. like oldies stuff. Yeah. And unless I took my Zuzu Trooper, the dial of my Zuzu Trooper, and turned it to, you know, Hot FM or whatever.
You'd never hear a song like that.
It didn't exist, but now, because it's piped into every mall, every park, every steakhouse, every outdoor,
center,
every business, every bar, every everything, now you must know it.
Yeah. Yes. Time has not been kind to 15 of the 20 songs on this list. This song holds out. I listen to this song today.
Windows Down?
Windows Cracked. Anyway, this is the number four song of the year.
Wow.
I don't feel like the song's going anywhere.
It's sweet.
It's probably an okay song. I don't think it's a great song by any standards.
Not feeling
first time you heard it?
Not feeling the movement.
I think I recognized the hook.
Nobody knows but me.
It was covered by a country artist like a year later.
That's how I know it.
Yeah.
And bald guy's not a great song in country either.
Somebody had to put the brakes, which were mounted on the bars, on that song.
And
right?
He died of cancer, so time showed him.
Sorry, I'm with Dawson on this. I don't enjoy that song. All right. The
more misses than hits.
Yeah.
Macarena. Right. Oh, what a dark day.
Macarena's the number one song.
In 96? It seems so much older.
I was saying newer.
Really?
I feel like 2001.
I thought I would have forgotten about it by then.
Yeah, it feels old and new, like simultaneously to me. All right. We should do this periodically. I'm interested in who's got...
I'm looking at mine. I'm not happy about mine either. So, yeah, we can...
But, like...
I got it.
The Macarena is a bad song. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But songs like Tainted Love are not songs. Macarena is just stupid. Like if you were drunk.
Novelty song.
If I was drunk at a karaoke bar and someone was drunk singing it, I would not care.
Yeah.
It's not a good song, but it's just it's a hostess Twinkie of songs or whatever. Tainted Love is like not a song.
I hate that song.
It's yes. It goes beyond like this song's just like, dorky.
It's those hits. That's why people like them because that's the number one thing.
I am restraining myself from dancing right now.
You know the dance?
Everybody knows the dance.
All right. Let's see. Why don't you go get John Wilkes Books and bring him in, John Tabas. From Books, man. And I'll tell you guys about Books. I love these guys. Don't panic. Valentine's Day, man. It's right around the corner. Don't get suckered by some online $19.99 special that end up costing you $60 or more. The produce department flowers, they smell like onions. The Books, man. That's short for bouquet. So that's how you spell it. And they got an awesome deal. Books, they don't sit around in the warehouse. They last for weeks. I have my house. I've had it open there for over a week. They still look great. Amazing fresh flowers and an amazing price. Ooh. Plus free weekday delivery. Here's John. You can show your Valentine's. You care. Send them artisan design flowers from the Books. Order today and get 15% off. Thank you very much, John. He's giving us a beautiful arrangement. When you enter Adam, that's BOUQS.com. Promo code Adam, save 15%. Books.com. And I'll tell you, man, the part where they last so much longer than the stuff you get at the store or from the bargain basement places, it's a big deal. I watch them all just bloom. I was talking to Olga about that last night. John Tavis, good to see you again, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
I love the story.
Yes.
I love the story about you going on Shark Tank, and you tell me if I screw this up. A few years ago, you're talking about basically, you know, farm to table flowers versus sitting around a middleman somewhere getting stale. And then they all passed. And then when
rudely passed
when Herkovec was going out to plan his wedding, saw how much flowers were, got onto the Books and sort of circled back to you. Right.
Yeah. So it was just on the show again about 2 weeks ago, sort of doing the recap. And Robert had called me to help him out with his wedding. He was like, this is ridiculous how expensive it is. And I said, hey, I can help. And as I did his wedding, he learned about the business. And he said, I know I passed 3 years ago, but can I come back and invest now? So only time that's happened in Shark Tank, pretty cool story.
And also, I remember your episode. I remember seeing it when it was first on. And Barbara going, I love the product. I hate the name. And I was like, oh, I love the name.
How
the
dare you?
The best part. I mean,
I
it's,
so
such a,
offended.
It's such a great name.
Well, I'm going to ask because I brought it up a few days ago on this show when I was talking about really the only thing my grandmother enjoyed about me is I signed her up for a floral service, but it was just a mom and pop place on the corner. But like twice a month, they'd bring over an arrangement. They'd set it out. And I oftentimes kind of think about like, what do we pay for and what don't we pay for? Like I probably pay a shitload in cable, satellite, kids' phone stuff and all that stuff. But if you said to me, well, how about you pay $41 a month and you can have flowers all month? I go, no, I'm not worth it. Like, I'm not worth that. Yeah. I'll pay for this. I'll pay for that, but I'm not worth that. But do you guys do like a membership or service or whatever? Because I will sign myself up for this because you sent over some bouquets. We put them out, like one by the entrance and one in the kitchen. And it really just, it changes your vibe. Like,
absolutely.
I'm worth it. I'm now worth it. I'm dressing for success.
You're a sassy lady.
I'm demanding more of my deodorant. And now I want some floral bouquets.
Yeah. So we have a subscription product. It's our best price. It's $32 delivered for like a dozen roses or the equivalent. You can do it once a week, once every other week, once a month. That's our once a month is most popular. And it's exactly for the reason you just said, which is, you know, you sort of walk into your kitchen, your living room, whatever, you have fresh flowers, you just feel a little better. And there is actually scientific data-based evidence that says people are happier when they have fresh anything, whether it's a plant or a flower in their
hookers,
home.
Yeah, hookers, whatever.
Sure. The fresh hookers. Not the
crusty ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Not grandpa's hookers.
But the other thing we have, which is brand new, and it's new on the site, is this ability to actually pre-schedule all the important events ahead of time. So now you just go on our mobile phone. You know, if your mobile phone, you click on mom, wife, sister, friend, birthday, anniversary, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, and it's taken care of. So you're no longer scrambling the night before paying $120 for Valentine's Day. You locked it in with us at $32. And it's much harder on the florist or anybody that you use the day before, and so they charge you a lot more.
I gotta tell you, like, the thing about the scam with the weddings is they do the scam. The scam is they have friends who are dumber than they are who paid more for flowers than you're going to pay. So when they go, you go, $5,700 for flowers? They go, that's a good deal.
That's a bargain. Steal.
Becky paid $8,000. Becky and Tim, $8,000. Okay, so there's someone more retarded than we are. That's a fantastic example. They're dumber people. Becky and Tim paid $2,600 for a taco. Well, and we're getting ours for $12.50.
Like, you're getting a deal.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't know what to ask. Like, who knows anything about
flowers?
Nobody
knows anything. Other than you're anything. The biggest dick in the world if you go, I'm not paying that. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Go find one of the Mexicans on Forest Lawn and go buy something off of them.
Unless you're Robert Herjavec, then you just start calling founders who have flower companies.
Come out on your TV
help
show.
Help me understand this thing.
Well, you know the thing I like about guys like Herjavec and guys are business guys, and it's kind of like guys like Mark Garagos. He's not playing a lawyer on TV. He's a lawyer all the time, and Herjavec is a businessman all the time. It's not, the camera doesn't need to be rolling for
Robert,
him to save money.
Robert, in this wedding deal, ground me for every penny. I mean, he is a deal maker on TV, off TV, with me, with his wedding. I mean, this guy makes it happen on a day-to-day basis, but it worked out great for everybody, right? We got some money into the company from him. We got some great relationships with him, and he got some amazing flowers.
So he paid X amount for X amount of ownership in the company.
Correct. Yeah, we had a round that we closed about a year ago of $22 million,
damn.
And so he participated in that round.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I've experienced it a little myself with the production company I have and stuff. Like, on one hand, you need money. On the other hand, you don't want to give away ownership, but that's the way it goes because who's going to give you money for nothing?
Yeah,
nothing
when I started this company, we had $13,000. Like, my mom, my sister, a couple of buddies wrote, like, $1,000 checks. And I thought, we could make this huge. And then you get 6 months into it and you haven't taken any salary and you're working, you know, 100 hours a week and you're like, I need someone to help. So then you need to raise some money. And at the end of the day, like, I think we could be a multiple hundreds of millions of dollars company, really helping the customer with a better quality product that, you know, arrives fresh and lasts longer and all those good things. But to get there, you need capital. You need people. You need space. You need inventory. You need all these things. And so, you know, we're sort of the little engine that could. We're trying to make it happen against, you know, some really large incumbents.
Well, I'm definitely going to sign up for that monthly or probably bi-monthly deal because, again, you should be kind of looking around. It's my sort of thing. It's like when I see the Panda Express containers like sitting on the counter, I'm like, you just ate $3 chicken. Like, we're rich. Get the good
stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Treat yourself.
Get the good stuff. Like, I always try to look around. Like, I'm not saying everyone drive around a Lamborghini Aventador. I'm saying look for the little things that you would do if you had some money and do it. Let's not act like we're all working for the man here.
Well,
yes.
I think from a relationship perspective, for the guys, you know, listening, as many of the listeners are, it's like laying down a nice foundation for when you screw up. Because you're going to screw up,
it's
right?
It's a down payment on a screw up.
But if you've had flowers there fresh every other week for 6 months, and you screw up whatever you would have done anyway, the pain is just a little bit less. I don't know if it's 10% less or 20% less, but like, it's sort of like laying down a foundation of like some goodwill here.
It's like having a lawyer on retainer. Like, you're not happy about the situation, but at least you have somebody there.
Yeah.
There's somebody there. There's a base. Yes.
Speaking of Robert's experience and ours too, like, you know, weddings and stuff, do you guys have, or are you planning on having like an event arm of the Books? Now I realize we've had a baby a year and a half ago, all of our friends are either pregnant or having other babies or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there's a lot of baby showers out there and you got to have flowers for baby showers and it adds up. Like, is there going to be a way to sort of do events?
Yeah, so we sort of kicked it off maybe a year and a half ago just because people that use us for gifting bouquets started emailing us and saying, hey, you know, I'm getting married. Can I get your flowers for my wedding? I love them. We were sort of like, sure. So we just got a bigger box and we just put a bunch of flowers into a box. And that's turned into a full-service wedding business.
Oh, nice.
So we'll do fully arranged bouquets with, you know, wrapped with for the bridesmaids, for the bride, the grooms, all the whole thing, and including the tables. And we'll do it at roughly 75% less than whatever your idiotic friend paid. And so, you know, the average bride in the U.S. will pay between $2,500 and $3,500 for a wedding. That's average. New York, it's like $7,000 to $10,000.
We'll do the same. Sex and the City, the movie.
Quite
that
lavish.
Was not cheap.
We'll do the
and
same
she hit
flowers.
Mr. Big with the bouquet out there. That was
$1,100. That was painful. But we'll do the same thing for $1,000.
I'm a bridesmaid right now, and the flowers, is where things are sort of grinding to a halt because it is a pain in the ass.
Yep. It's so hard to track somebody down. You got to do a whole bunch of negotiating. Then you got to like deal with it on the day of.
Yes.
We just ship everything in a big box straight out of Colombia, and it shows up, and you take it out, and you stick it on the table.
And your Coke's underneath.
Well, let's try to save some people's Valentine's Day if we can rescue them. Andrew, 33, Omaha.
Yeah, hey, guys.
What's going on?
I called in, saw your tweet, and I've got my high school teacher. And next week, Valentine's Day, one of the 2 days, will be parent-teacher conferences. So I will be here at the high school maybe I'll put out a bottle of red wine and parents can get drunk while I tell them how shitty their kids' grades are.
Much like the kids' basketball games, like the doubleheader that's scheduled for the Super Bowl Sunday,
can we look
ahead on the calendar?
Look on the calendar.
So what do you do with a kid when the kid's underachieving? Like, what do you do with the parents? Can you tell, like, what the parents are going to be by sort of how the kid acts in your class?
Absolutely. Usually when I get a kid, I've had many kids where parents showed up for a meeting and it's kind of like everything snaps into focus. Okay, this makes sense now as to why this kid is like this. And parent-teacher conferences kind of turned into what I've noticed over the last few years is the parents that actually care, they come and their kids are doing fine. And then your kids who are doing bad in class, their parents don't even show up. So
it's kind of catch 22. Like if they're there, the kid isn't that bad because
they have
parents who care, right?
Well, and this sucks for the parents, too. I mean, the wife is sitting there glaring at the teacher like, WTF.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be out to dinner. I'm supposed to be getting some love. What's going on?
Open house for me every year was all part of the tacit agreement I had with my dad, which is you're not interested in me, right? Right. All right. So you're not going to have to do these things. Like, good news and bad news. Like, it was a two-way street, like our relationship. Like, you don't have to pay for college or buy me a car or talk to me about the ladies. But in return, I don't have you showing up and having Mr. Hansen, Mr. Tomey explaining what a fucking failure I am, right? And then us having to talk about it in the car.
Deal.
So that's our deal, right? And then be like, yeah. So I wouldn't even – I didn't tell him. Did you guys' parents all show up like in high school and stuff like that?
I have to imagine that was one of the exceptions, like for Andrew's parents, where you know what the parents can be like based on the kids, because I was a very bad student, and here come my parents all concerned. I probably expected my parents
to be absentee. Yeah, but you went to USC.
Squeaked in.
Yeah, but that ain't real bad.
Not wrong side of the tracks.
I had some real bad students. You had to take the SATs and do something. Yep. That couldn't be that bad. What was your GPA when you got
high
out
school?
Of there? And we know Macarena was playing on the radio.
One. Oh, man. It was 2.
Stop there.
6 or 7, maybe. Wow. Maybe 8.
And you
sub 3.0.
And,
Brian, you'd be an overachiever in my high school.
Oh, no.
It could be. Grass is greener.
Yeah. God, that's got to suck. But the good news is, what do we got? Spring break coming up and all the winter, some summer
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. All those breaks that allow me to only work 185 days a year. You betcha.
Oh,
maybe the single moms who show up on Valentine's Day, maybe there's something there.
Yeah,
fishing. You ready to go interracial?
Well,
oh, sorry. I was just doing the math.
Might have something to say. My wife might have something
race.
To say about that.
Say yes? probably.
All right, Andrew, we're going to send you out some flowers, right, John?
Wilson? Absolutely. We'll hook it up.
Books.
So awesome, to apologize to your wife for not being there.
You got to shoot a president.
Got to do it. Absolutely.
I'm not saying which one. I don't want to get into trouble. But what I'm saying is John Wilkes Books.
Great.
That'd be the greatest handle ever. If you could get that on a vanity plate.
To my team listening, take that Twitter handle immediately.
John Wilkes Books. Man, not since.
He leapt to the stage after.
Not since the place out of Van Nuys that did the roll-up lawns. Mm. The Marquis de Sade.
Oh, my God.
Not since that Ooh, guy.
There's a place on Venice, on La Cienega Boulevard. It's a tennis shop. The Merchant of Tennis.
Ah.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
So yeah, you guys should be on the Mount Rushmore of names that sort of sounded like your business, but didn't make any real sense.
To your business.
Right. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on?
32, man. What's going on?
Yeah, so I travel a lot for work. And I will be in Dallas on Valentine's Eve, and I will be abusing the Tinder app trying to find my Tinderella on Valentine's Day.
Nice. Hey, you're calling from Atlanta. As you hear this, I'll be there tonight at the Buckhead Theater. Where's that?
Yeah, I'm going to see you there. I will be there.
Oh, good times.
And deliver the books in person.
Yeah, I'll bring them with
carry
me.
Carry on.
Solid. So you're a single guy.
Yes.
How is it? I've often wondered, like, now we have basically, I always said the best time to be alive is pre-AIDS, mid-Coke.
Yep.
That would be like the 70s. In terms of getting laid, you could get laid by just saying to a chick, you're not uptight, are you? And they're like, no, you want to bump? Okay, let's go in the bathroom. Like, right. So,
but nowadays, give him a run for his money, though, with all the with the apps.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, and women basically told to act like men, like, hey, come on, you're horny? Go online and go find a dude. Like, when you go, I don't want to do it. And you go, yeah, come on. You're like, man, we're all the same. Like, everyone go do, everyone go out and have sex.
Get it.
We got AIDS under control pretty much. You got all, you got a phone filled with, I mean, my batting average of going to a bar and like walking around and hoping people felt sorry for me.
Statistically zero.
Statistically zero. Yes. So, Alex, how is it for a 32-year-old single guy can just hop on the phone now?
It's good. Two things I would say to that. One, it's a great way to find out what your ceiling is. You know, if you're liberal on the girls that you swipe right on, you can find out real quick, you know, the type of girl that you can get.
Because they have to match up, right? You both have to swipe.
It removes all the delusion.
Otherwise.
Right. So it's like you're exactly. Right, like, sorry, left is like moving on, reading a book, and then right's where we stop. So
if you're getting a bunch of sevens, then that's where you are.
Right. So you get a pretty, it's like putting your car on eBay or something, get a real good evaluation of what America will pay for that car. Whatever the head is, whatever it's in your head or what Kelly Blue Book says, it doesn't really matter. Just put it on, give it 7 days, see what happens. That'll be the price of your car.
Yep.
All right. So I got another question, which is back in the day, if a young gal, a single gal, put an ad in a newspaper like saying, I'm single, you know, like there was this singles section and stuff like that. There was a stigma that came along with that, or a whore, or something. You wouldn't want to be with a woman who would put her ad in a newspaper. Yeah. Stigma gone, little bit left.
I think it's been obliterated.
It's all gone. Yeah, I mean, it started off with that, like, oh, you met that guy online, or you met her online. That's weird. And then it just slowly ramped to where it's just totally normal now.
People don't even ask. They're like, "What site did you meet that person on?"
It's the more preferred way of meeting people now.
Yeah,
I agree.
So when I walk. When I go home and I'm like, who made a Taco Bell run? Because everyone's wearing sweatpants and bathrobes. I go, oh, they brought it by the house. Like we just hopped online. We went to post it, and they just brought it around. And I'm confused by this, but the family doesn't. There's no stigma amongst the family.
None.
It's the same thing.
I mean, maybe
so later on there'll be Taco Bell. Post it brought Taco Bell, and Tinder brought your wife.
Yeah.
Like your mommy.
That's right.
That's totally. How she got
drops
here.
Right off.
In fact,
and there's no more.
You can track the driver.
There's no more anything.
No, okay. In fact, I have a friend that just got married. She met her husband on Tinder, and their hashtag for their wedding was swipe right forever. So people are putting it out there. People are having fun
with
it.
I'm glad.
I have friends just got married too. Met online.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting with
same here.
No problemo. All right. It was never a real thing for the guy. I think it was kind of a thing for the ladies.
Right.
Like, you didn't want to, that you met online or you met in the paper, you posted something, you know. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
We're going to send you out some books. How about that?
What are you going to do with these flowers, Alex?
That's a good question.
So I actually have a Tinder girl that I met in another city that I can maybe have you send them to.
Oh,
solid move.
That's a very baller move. Yeah,
right, I like that.
And I'll see you tonight then, right?
You got it. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. Say hi after the show. All right.
Alex got it all figured out.
John Wilkes Tavis.
Thanks. John Wilkes Books.
Yeah, Books.com is where you go. Just the best, man. Thanks for bringing this stuff out. And Rob Riggle is out there. One of my favorites. Just a good dude. I think we're going to play some made-up movie with Rob Riggle.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that with Rob, and we'll do it right after Good Sports.
Let's do it. Good The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this episode of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Yes, it's old news. The Super Bowl has been recorded to sports history, but this is our first chance to kibitz about it and everything that happened in the lead up and in the post. Ace, how was your Super Bowl 52 Super Sunday?
Yeah, I had a good time. I realized there's a little flaw in my TV watching, my Super Bowl party. And I don't know if this is going on. When I was younger, I would just watch the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I got to like sit down and watch it. Now I throw the party and I get there a few hours early. And at some point, it seems like it's been long enough. And about 2:30, I crack a beer. And by 3:30 kickoff, I had a couple of IPAs. And by the time we get to the halftime, I've had a couple of few more. And by the end of the game, I don't really remember that. Like the next day, as I and the occasional little spleef out in the parking lot, I find myself the next day kind of sifting through.
Oh, yeah, that happened, right?
Right. Like there's a, and everyone wants to know about the commercials and stuff. And I find myself, I would watch sober and intently and catch every play and every commercial and every nuance, and now it's a little bit foggier.
I know it is a funny thing. My experience has gotten completely different. I literally, sad to say, I mean 20 weeks of football, wait, 21 weeks of football now recorded and over with, and I did not watch football with you again for the entire football season, and it's a weird thing, but I love what I get to do and flap my gums about it for the NFL, but it is a completely different game day experience. People, what'd you think of the commercial? I didn't see it. How would I have seen any commercial? I was in the stadium. I didn't see what happened. I was there all day.
So what was the mood? And
it's a beautiful stadium. It is a neat place.
Better than Dallas?
To me, not even close. Well, Seattle is awesome. Dallas, I love Seattle, and I love this new joint.
Dallas is 10 years old now, right?
Its thing is that it's a monstrosity. So that's its element that is striking is, my goodness, what is that thing? It's a Death Star. It's a gigantic grounded orb. But it's this place has... has windows, basically. It's just gigantic windows, so the sun pours in, and it is really cool on the inside. I would say it was like 75% Eagles fans, which makes sense because there must be Super Bowl fatigue for Patriots fans. How many times can you spend $5,000 for you and yours to take a trip to see a Super Bowl? They've been in 8 of them in the last 15 years. How many times can you take that once-in-a-lifetime trip?
Yeah, you're going to have to explain to your 17-year-old son he's not going to college because the boys went on a winning streak and had to travel.
We did see him lose to Nick Foles. That was worth it, right?
Well, I have a thought, and I have a thought like this. You tell me, most people have some thoughts about their team being in the Super Bowl, and it's not as casual as, oh, I'll just go to whatever the closest Super Bowl party is with all the strangers, and we'll pick a box, and I'll hang out, mm-hmm. whatever. They got a little more like, I got to focus.
Yeah.
Like, I got to will my team to victory.
I got a little of that in
yeah,
me. Simmons, I'm not going to lie.
Bill Simmons sent, I invited Bill Simmons to party. He wrote back, I can't. I got to, it was a little.
I don't want to be around a bunch of Patriots haters.
Right. He had to focus. Yeah. He had to focus. I've heard this story before. I don't know if there's a difference between Miami Dolphins fans and New England Patriots fans. It seems to me that folks from Miami area would rather go tilt some beers with some like-minded folks and watch their team at the Super Bowl and a little less pacing and hand-wringing alone, yelling at their wife to get out when they come to bring them some pigs in a blanket at halftime. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like the Patriots, they're up in their head, the fans. They're little... I've always had this thought about people from that area, which is they're... A little angrier, a little more verbal. Like you can kind of
chip on the shoulder imposed by being the lesser brother of New York City, right?
Right. So I just wondered if you took a list of cities and you said like Rams fans are probably the worst. The Rams would happily go to a Super Bowl party if their Rams were playing in it. They probably want to bask in the glow of their team being one of the teams represented on that Sunday. New England's probably at the bottom of the list. I bet we could probably figure it out. Like, who, what cities would be least likely to attend a Super Bowl party if their team was in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, Hench is the best example of this. He decided, if you'll recall, way back, the first Super Bowl I ever attended, and we've detailed that many times over, when we went to New Orleans with Kimmel and Sal and Baby Doll and Boehm and Ray and everybody all went down there.
Right.
And I tried to back out because the week prior, the Steelers got upset by this upstart team with a sophomore quarterback named Brady who got hurt, and Bledsoe came in and vanquished the mighty Steelers. And I called off. I said, well, I can't go. I mean, of course, right. I have no business being there. I'm a diehard. And I got a phone call, voicemail, which is something people used to get from one Ace Carolla. And I remember how it opened. Ah, Shaq. Tickled Brown for you, fella.
I was driving to Loveline, I think, when I left you there. I was in the car for a long time, I remember.
I saved it for 2 years because I would play it for people and people would die laughing how funny it was because you'd detail. I'm like, you got to come with it. Everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. What's the difference? So what? You'll forget about the whole Steelers thing. Everybody's going to be. And you did this whole thing about, like, compare yourself to the guy who is the assistant manager at the athletic gear store that's owned by his father-in-law, and he's got the three kids, and the youngest can't learn. And it was this whole thing about, like, you're in a better spot than them. We're going to have a good time. So I was like, all right, that's pretty good. That was very funny, so I have to go. And I went down there, and then I ate an oyster, and the football god sent me a not subtle message.
Yeah.
They gave me a bad oyster.
Yeah.
You think the people at Crystal Oyster House gave it to me? No way. No. It was the football gods delivering a message. Shame the devil. The Steelers aren't here. Neither should you be. You Jew. What do you do? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Go get sick. And then on top of it, just to punctuate the message, Cousin Sal is going to be sharing that hotel with you and torment you and laugh and cackle at your expense while you vomit repeatedly all through the evening and night.
I do remember that. I have vague recollections of, like,
the worst.
Smoking pot with Ralphie May or something. I remember
you guys went to some party that night. It was a bachelor party for Kimmel's buddy, another Steelers fan, by the way. I had to stay behind, and I remember Sal kept calling and harassing me from the party, and at some point Jimmy called him off, and he said, this is one of those, because they're, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. They're the two biggest mixers on the face of the earth. They love to torment you and have a laugh about it. And Kimmel said, this goes too far. This is one that Damashek will never forgive if you don't stop harassing him now. And so Sal, against his better judgment, backed off, and I thank him for that.
Sheck was violently ill.
I mean, it was the worst. The sick I put on. Wah! Just the noises I was making after the third go. The sounds you make once you clear the food in your belly, that bileless vomit noise you make to try and summon something from deep within your gut is unlike anything. Trying to get something to come out of you.
The sound we were making was laughing. That's comical. All right, let me tell you something that's going to put you in a better mood, Shaq.
All right.
MVMT watches, movement watches, style shouldn't break the bank. Valentine's Day is coming up. Let's not procrastinate. These are great watches. I shall be wearing mine on stage at the Kennedy Center tonight. I absolutely will. You see, I'll take a bunch of pictures afterward. You tell me if I'm not wearing my movement watch, because I don't wear a watch unless I go out on stage, because I got to know how long the set is.
Sure.
But I always wear these watches on stage because they look great and I can read them, and they have classic styles, and they have whatever, all different finishes, matte finishes, black matte finishes, whatever gold, rose gold, whatever colors you want, finishes you want, custom Valentine's gift boxes, and you can get a watch and a bracelet, make Valentine's Day easy. Fastest growing watch company, over 1 million sold in over 160 countries. Get the 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTWatches.com/Adam. MVMTWatches.com/Adam. Why would you do anything else? All right, let's finish this up tomorrow, shall we, Shaq?
Yes, we definitely should. I will just tell you this. The Hench was such a loyalist for the Patriots. He refused to come at all because he had to stay behind and watch the Patriots in a darkened room, and I still admire him for it to this day. All right, that's a wrap on This Good Sports from Podcast One Sports. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, out. Good Sports.